Well, hi there. This is session number 51. And this session is entitled Omega and Alpha. And the scripture is Revelation 22, 12 through 21. Omega and Alpha. Yes, I know what I'm saying. Oh, yes, you may feel as though I have gotten this backwards this time. You know, you're backwards on this. It's Alpha and Omega. You may think it should be said Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Yes, Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. But you see, the end is a beginning. Think back to your own life. Hasn't every ending been followed by a new beginning? Let's look at some examples. Each night is followed by a new day. When you complete 1 year in school, when you completed just 1 year in school, any year, it was followed by a new year in school. When you graduated from school, it was the end of one endeavor, only to be followed by another endeavor. Many people find themselves in one, finishing just, say, one career, only to start another. It's been really commonplace for some time now in the Western societies to have as many as three or four different career periods before you retire. I can remember being told when I was in school that things were changing and some people would change jobs twice in their career. And then I started hearing people saying, well, people might change three times in their career. And now I hear that sometimes many people are changing every 3.5 years in what they're doing. Times have certainly changed. And there are ends to one thing and new beginnings to another. Thus I say the end is just a doorway to a new beginning. New beginnings we need not shrink back from, but transition into them. This is a very important thing. I will tell you, the ability to transition is extremely important in life. I've known people who just could not transition. They could not transition in relationships. They could not transition well in jobs. They really believed that, okay, I'm supposed to step into this and then things are either going to be perfect or they're going to be terrible forever. And in that actually came a victim mentality. The idea that, well, what can I do? This is just the way it is. But we shouldn't shrink back, not from a transition, but we should embrace them and learn how to work with them and through them. When Jesus called each of his disciples, their lives changed dramatically. I mean, think about it. Matthew was a tax collector. His life changed dramatically. You had some who were fishermen. Their lives changed dramatically. You see, all of them were in secular work and untrained for spiritual matters. The disciples, without a doubt, must have had some concerns regarding their new lives as they abandoned their means of livelihood to follow the Master. Had you ever thought about that? When Matthew got up from the tax collector's table, when they walked off from their fishing nets, when all these people did these various things to follow Jesus, they walked away from their livelihoods. Their life was changing drastically. My, my. All this to follow the Master. They did, however, follow him. Even if they had had some concerns or whatever, they still followed him. Starting well is always a good way to start doing and experiencing something new. Oh, now we could just wax eloquent about perfection, about, oh, you've got to just get a good start. Well, a good start is a lot easier. That's true. And the more easily you can make a transition, probably the better off you're going to start somewhere. So it does help to start well, but it's not necessary. Now hear me, it's not necessary. It helps, but it's not necessary. If you look at the lives of many very successful people, their early endeavors were miserable attempts. You know, Peter, as I recall, did not do well at walking on water. Now, did he? He just didn't do well at that. I cannot remember the number of times that Abraham Lincoln failed, went bankrupt, had all sorts of things happen to him before he ended up being the President of the United States. Two of the wealthiest men that I've ever met, Rich DeVos and Jay Van Andel, failed at their first businesses. As a matter of fact, they had one that's still sitting on the bottom of the Caribbean. But that didn't stop them. You see, many people start out poorly, but you learn. You just learn. You can take sometimes more from a failure as far as how to finish getting through life than you can from a success. I can remember one time training someone in a selling situation. And I always wanted people to be told no the first 20 times. And this individual was told yes the first 20 times. And I began to feel as though I'm going to live with this person forever. Because you see, you can't help somebody overcome objections if nobody ever objects. You see, sometimes it's those things that we don't consider the most beautiful or the most wonderful experiences in life that are actually the experiences that prepare us to persevere through life. But I was rejoicing. Number 21 gave him just about every objection in the book. And I thought, finally. You know, there are many things in life we need to learn to overcome objections about. And many people fail in endeavors because they never learn to overcome objections. They just get angry, they ball up in a corner someplace, and that's it. Life will not always be just perfect and smooth. And if you look back at your own life, I'll bet you're going to find that those times that really challenged you, that you worked through, were some of the times where you made the greatest strides forward. Because you learned something. You learned how to deal with a situation. You learned how to persevere and move through it. So remember, Peter did not do well at walking on water. And the Lord did not kick him out. He didn't say to him, after all this time I've spent with you, and I tell you to get out of that boat, and all you can do is worry about drowning. Jesus didn't say that to him. Jesus didn't tell him what a wretch he was. You see, Peter didn't start well in some of these things. And by the way, there's no other time recorded that I'm aware of where Peter ever walked on water again. You know, somehow, because he persevered through a lot of things, I don't think he was one of those people that said, well, I tried it once and I didn't like it. but finish well. Finish well. The important thing is how you finish. Most people who finish well are people who ignore all those well-meaning and sometimes not so well-meaning friends and relatives who have all the reasons it can't be done. And if it can be done, certainly not by you. Have you all ever experienced, have any of you ever experienced that from somebody? And even if it can be done, certainly not by you. If you think that way, well, you're finished before you start. And sadly, you'll be right. You know that? If you think that way, You're done before you ever start out. And you'll be right. If you say, I can never do that, you're right. You can never do it. Because you think you can never do it. As a man thinketh in his heart, the scripture says, so is he. So you'll be right. The people who finish well are those who persevere. The words quit and compromise are not in their vocabulary. They're just not there. I heard a very, very successful man one time say that the words quit and compromise weren't in his dictionary. And I looked at him and he said, I cut him out. He says, you think I'm kidding. You come to my house, you pick up my dictionary, and you'll find that I cut the words quit and compromise out of my dictionary. They're not there. I made up my mind they were not going to be, that I was going to complete my task, and I wasn't going to quit it. So I cut quit and compromise out of my dictionary. And you know what? He had succeeded. Because he trusted that God would be with him. This was a person of great faith. And he just persevered. The Apostle Paul spoke of this often. You succeed when you get up one more time than when you fall. Do you realize that? It's not how many times you fall down that count. It's just that you get up one more time than you fell. In any endeavor, in any relationship, in anything that you're doing, just get up one more time than you fall. Proverbs says, if a righteous man falls seven times, yet he will get up again. Isn't grace great? I think grace is great. You see, even if you mess up, it's all right. Because the Lord will lift you up again. The Lord will give you the strength and the stamina. Paul talked about all the things that had happened to him, but he said, we are not discouraged. And look at the things that he had been beaten. He had been stoned. He had been shipwrecked. He had had all these things happen to him. He was in jail and he talked about these basically mild and trivial little problems he had to deal with. I mean, some people get a hangnail and it is a major event in their life. You know, some people have a headache and boy, the world needs to shut down around them and just leave them alone. But you know, one of the things that I've found among the successful people I've ever met is you hardly ever hear about their headaches. You hardly ever hear about their hangnails. And you'd never know from one day to the next that anything was really going on. And it's easy to look at somebody who's successful and say, boy, oh boy, you know, you've never had to face the kind of things I've faced. Oh, but you'd be very surprised. I heard the story of a man who pastors a church across the street in the World Trade Center. And he was sitting on some steps, I believe it was, in front of a place. And his mother said to him, now you wait here till I get back. And so this man drove by and saw him sitting there, and he drove by the next day and he saw him sitting there. He drove by the next day and he saw him sitting there. And his mother had abandoned him. And so this man picked him up and took him home and finally ended up adopting him. And he had all kinds of things that have come up in his life you just would not believe. I'm not going to take the time to go into the whole story. The man's name is Bill Wilson. And he was right there in the thick of the World Trade Center when it came down, right across the street where his church was located. Church was wiped out. And the facility. And he was out there the next day finding ways to help people, even that very day. You see, that's the way life works. Now let me ask you a question. If you were on a dock and you looked around and you saw somebody drowning, what would you do? If you looked out there and you saw somebody was drowning, they're floundering around the water, their hands are waving in the air, they're gulping, trying to scream for help, would you walk away? Would you try to get them help? Would you try to dive in and pull them out yourself? Would you try to do something? Would you try to do something to be able to reach them to save their lives? As believers, we spend every day like that around people who are doing that very thing. People who are drowning, people who are not persevering, people who have no relationship properly with God, and we do nothing. Now, we can easily say, well, but I couldn't do it. And as I already told you, if that's what you think, you're right. You can't, because you've set your course. You have succeeded at failing. You will always succeed at something. Just make sure you're succeeding at the right things. You see, grace is so great. And you want to make sure in your relationship with God that you fulfill your destiny. Did you know you have a destiny? Each of us has a destiny. Oh, how sad it would be not to fulfill a destiny. I heard somebody say that they kept writing music and doing this sort of thing because they didn't want to die with the music still in them. There are things in you that God wants brought out. Don't die with them still in there. Embrace the open door that every day brings you. Fulfill your destiny. Destinies are fulfilled by being in tune with God. It is He who will raise you up again in this life and in the next. He'll raise you up now, and He'll raise you up in eternity. Why? Because He said He would. It is He who will raise you up again. Walk in the promise. As a believer, you have all the promises of Abraham. Walk in them. Now, don't get so focused on the promises. If you just think the promises of Abraham are you're going to have wealth and you're going to have this and you're going to have that, you got to remember Abraham did some faithful things too. It's easy to say, well, here I am, Lord, bless me now. The real believer is more interested in blessing God than being blessed by Him. If your relationship with God is bless me, bless me, bless me, without I want to bless you, Lord, I want to bless you, Lord, I want to bless you, Lord, you need to spend some serious time with the Lord. And when you say I want to bless you, Lord, then you get into His Word and find out what He says blesses Him. And one of the things that blesses Him is bringing people into the kingdom. You can't be a servant and not serve. Walk in the promise. God will fulfill His plan in you if you seek Him first. In all the things you do, seek Him first. If you do that, you will have a great new Alpha beginning after the Omega, the ending. Because life is full of alphas and omegas, omegas and alphas. And here we sit at the end of a year going into a new year. So we're sitting in an omega right now, looking to an alpha. And I say to you, embrace that. I say to you, go straight to the throne and go straight in, transition into the new year with a firm resolution. Not a New Year's resolution. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about resolve to embrace your destiny and let God raise you again. And that's my message for this session.